Lord, let your spirit help us. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I ask for your help. I ask, Father, that you shall open our hearts to receive. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So today we are going to be talking about becoming useful to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the first thing that I will say is that, you know, creation is, how can I say it? When we talk about creation, every element of creation is existing in what you call an ecosystem. Hallelujah. How many of you have done ecosystem in biology? Let's say you've done, have you? Okay. So, if you look at an ecosystem, what's an ecosystem? An ecosystem is simply just a collection of, this mic is failing. The mic is failing. It's like a collection of, are you hearing me well? Okay. It's like a collection of, can you hear it? Can you hear? Okay. So it's like a collection of people or things that are all feeding off each other. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, for instance, now your body is like a kind of ecosystem. Or typically, in the typical biology, when we say ecosystem, we're talking about everything that's happening around. So, from the, like now if you poo-poo, you know, that poo-poo is not useless. That poo-poo has use. You know, that poo-poo goes into the soil. It makes plants, it makes plants grow. When the plants grow, when the plants grow, rain will fall, you know, then sun will shine on the plants, and then food will come out, and then, please just look at me, don't be distracted. And food will come out, then you eat the food, and then you go and shit again. So the cycle continues, right? So you have all these elements, you know, of little animals, everything is coexisting. And nothing is existing for itself. That's the nature of creation. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Please, this is a very important thing that I'm saying. Nothing is existing for itself. Everything is plugging into something else. You know, even like the air that you breathe, you know, you breathe in oxygen, you breathe out CO2. Abby now? Right? And then the plants, they breathe in CO2 and they breathe out oxygen, you know. So the way God created life, he created life in balance. Can we say balance? Can we say it's all balance? You know, balance. Meaning that everything is, what I mean by this balance is that everything is connected to each other and everything is useful outside of itself. So things don't work for themselves. Things work for what is happening around them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know. And so it is natural that as a human being, for example, you want to be useful. You know, even as a child, you know, I see my daughters now, maybe if they are cleaning the house, they'll say, Mita, I want to clean the house. I just pray that it won't go away, you know. But people's natural instinct is that, you know, nobody wants to be left out when something is happening. You know, if something is happening, you yourself, you'll be, you know, you have serious issues. Maybe if you enter a place and you see everybody sweeping and you just go and just start drinking, you know. Are we together? I remember somebody I know, you know, she went to meet her mother-in-law and she just sat there, you know. The first time she went to meet her mother-in-law, she just sat there. And then people were serving food and everything, and she was just sitting there, just doing, you know, anything called wahala between the mother-in-law and her, you know. Because it's somehow when somebody, things are going on and then people are not useful. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's not a good sign. Amen. Even in your house, you know, like for instance, I keep telling you guys that one of the ways to make people respect you, your parents respect you, the reason why, you see, the statement of you are treating me like a child is an indictment. Oh, let me explain what I mean. It's not a good thing to say. Amen. I hear what I'm saying. It's not good to be angry at your parents that they are treating you like a child. It's like me being angry at my wife and saying, do you know I'm the man of this house? You know, the moment you say it, you've just proven that you are not the man of the house. Hallelujah. So the moment you go and meet your mom and you say, mommy, you're treating me like a child. I'm old enough to make my decisions by myself. You know, what you are just saying is that you are not old enough to make your decisions by yourself. Hallelujah. If you want adults to respect you, then you need to be responsible. Can you tell your neighbor, if you want adults to respect you, you need to be responsible. Yeah, you need to be responsible. You understand? You can't be waking up 2 p.m. You know, everybody has gone to work. Daddy has gone to work. Mommy has gone to hustle in market. Children have gone to school. You watch film till 4 a.m. You now slept. You're not waking up 2 p.m. You now go to the kitchen. Oh, there's no food here. You now go and meet your mommy. There's no food in the kitchen. No. You know, mommy, there's no food. Amen. And maybe when the light will blow, and I say, mommy, please, can you climb up and change the bulb? Amen. Then you now think that when you bring girlfriend, they will tell you that they don't marry her. They will tell you who to marry. They will tell you who to marry. They will tell you who to love. You understand? In fact, the fact that people can even look at you in the face as a man and say, don't marry her, that one itself is a whole insult as a man. Are we together? I say, guy, if you bring a girl, you say, this is who I want to marry. By the time by the time your mom says, I know, maybe she's Yoruba, you people are Igbo, and she doesn't like that you're marrying Yoruba. By the time she just sees the first one, by the time she sees your face, I said, she'll just be like, I know you won't listen to me, but man, I still have to give my own opinion. You know, that's when the tone will change by the time your body language and your face is. Hallelujah. So, the way to be treated like an adult is to behave like an adult. And adult life is responsibility. Hallelujah. Are we together? Childhood is about play. I mean, always say, enjoy your childhood. What we're talking about is play. Go to amusement park. You know, go to, you know, watch Lion King. You know, it's kind of like just play, you know. But what we're talking about adulthood is paying bills, paying school fees, paying NEPA bill. Are we together? Fixing, killing, buying fleets, you know, to spray the house. You know, that's adult life. Yeah, you know, so that mosquito won't bite everybody in the house. You know. Some of you have never in your life even thought, this mosquito that is killing us here, what can I do to solve this mosquito? Mosquito is killing people in the house. And it even enter your mind that, okay, maybe I should buy coil. You know, maybe I should do something. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you hearing me? Like the mic, is it like the speaker? Is it okay? Cool. So, everybody wants to be useful. And when people don't want to be useful, it's usually teenagers that don't want to be useful. You know, that's the phase of life where people don't want to be useful. Children want to be useful. When people become teenagers, they don't want to be useful again. The way they become adults, they are forced to be useful. Because life will stare at you in the face. But If you're healthy, you would naturally want to be useful. In other words, you would want to contribute. Hallelujah. Are we together? If your mind is healthy, you will naturally be thinking about how you can contribute. For instance, a lot of people that have issues with marrying, a lot of men, for instance, can't be with a woman that is making more money. You know, a lot of men can't be with a woman that is making more money than them, you know. And it's because they don't feel that they are useful. Because how, maybe if the guy has defined his sense of usefulness as the money that he can drop, if you take that away from him, please walk briskly. Walk fast. Yeah, welcome. Just walk fast. Are you guys with me? So if a man defines his whole essence as money, which is important too. No, please don't believe all this new age. As a man, you have to have money. Please don't believe all these new age philosophies. Are we together? As a man, you have to have money. You understand? Everybody needs to have money. That's the end of the matter. Women need to have money. Everybody needs to have money. Everybody needs, in this life, you need money. Are we together? It's not good that someone can be rich, but so at least you shall need to be somebody that is doing something serious with your life. Even if you're a teacher, you know, you can be a teacher and still be a serious teacher. You get my point? All right. Maybe you're the best teacher in Lagos. You have to be operating at a high level. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, when people feel like they can't provide something, then they begin to feel useless. And that thing can pain people, you know, can really pain people. You know, there are some people that the moment maybe he doesn't have money to ask his fiance for 20K. Ah, it's not easy. It's really nice. God needs to work in you. Hallelujah. Are we together? God needs to work in you. I remember the first time I did have money and my wife now said, let's go and eat. Ah. That thing was strange, you know. We just went there. One of my idea was still dating. We went there and it was just a strange experience, you know. I mean, it was time to pay. She brought her ATM card and I was like, it's a good thing. But what I'm saying is that it was a new experience. That was the first time such a thing had happened to me. So I was like, wow, you know, this one self is 18, you know. And I tell you, the only reason why it was a good experience in court was because, you know, I had the Spirit of God. And before then, someone had told me that you shouldn't feel that way. You know, if you don't have money, ask your babe. But I don't have money. Learn how to say you don't have money. You know, the world will not end, you know. That thing is not easy for people, no. You know. Many men are afraid, maybe the day that they are not arguing with their wife. You know the way women can talk now. She will not say, even you say, when I found you, where were you? You know that kind of talk. You know. You are nobody. I am the one that even had mercy on you. I just said, let me just agree for you. You know, this kind of nasty women talk. You know, when women want to fight, you know, it's just sad. Women don't understand their power, you know. Women want to be like men. But women don't need to be like men. Women are very powerful. The whole world is operating because of women, you know. There's nothing people are doing outside of women. Yeah. So, that thing can, so many people are scared of that thing. So people will be like, no, I beg, let me be useful. It can reach a point where even a man will say, I can never marry a woman that is richer than me. Well, you're lost, but that was Shadi. So as human beings, we have that desire to be useful. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? Everybody wants to contribute something, It's wrong. That's why it's wrong, for example, to say things like, and you shouldn't kill that thing. It's wrong when that thing is killed in people. Maybe where you join a team and you don't want to contribute something. It's very wrong. It's not a good attitude to have. If there's anyone that has that attitude, you have to repent of it. Okay? Do you understand what I mean? Maybe you are in a place and everybody's doing things and you are comfortable just being like that. It's not a good character to have. Something has happened. When you start making money, you notice people that don't like spending their money. Please run away from them. Maybe people that if they have a rich friend, they will never spend money. If maybe they are the friend of Dangote's son, every time they go to nightclub, they will never spend their own money. Hallelujah. Please run away. Run away, because those people can kill you. So, it's very bad. And you shouldn't say things like all fingers are not equal. Do you know what I'm saying? All right? Maybe like now, you're in choir and they are saying I'm just giving an example, don't do it though. But maybe for Messiah's love now, they say, let's contribute to buy shirts so that we'll all match color. Then you will now say, all fingers are not equal. People that have money should pay for us. No. If you don't have money, say, I don't have money. Do you get my point? It's better to say, I don't have money. I don't have money. Instead of saying, all fingers are not equal. No, it's wrong. And that's why many people stay in poverty in church. Because it's very damaging for you to think that because you are less privileged in life, therefore, you need to be receiving from people and not giving to people. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? Even if you are the poorest person in Nigeria, you should still be thinking of what can I give? Amen. Not what can I take? What can I give? Do you understand what I'm saying? When you think in terms of what can I... Are you guys following me? When you think in terms of what can I get, then people will pity you. Hallelujah. The way you set up your life, because the way you set up your life is so that people can give you. And how do you set up your life? You'll be doing things like this. You'll be walking on the road. Maybe you have not eaten. You are hungry. Then you'll not be walking. Maybe you see somebody here. You'll not be walking. You pass the first time, the person did not notice. You now come again. You're trying to be pitied so that people can help you. But that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. You don't want to rely on men's charity. It's very dangerous. It's not dignifying. Hallelujah. Are we together? It's not dignifying, Hunger is not an excuse to beg. Hallelujah. Are we together? You did what I said. What did I say? Yeah. Hunger is not an excuse to beg. If you're hungry, go and drink water. Are we together? Are we together? If you need something, say, I need something. Whenever you want to, maybe if you've not eaten today now, or you're fasting, so everybody has not eaten today, at least most of us. But let's say you are genuinely hungry, you have not eaten. Let me give an example. Let me use myself so that you can understand what I'm saying. Let's say, for example, now I lose my job. you know, and then all my savings are gone, you know, then all my wife's money, all our, you know, everything, you know, we are gone. So we genuinely don't have money. And we need to eat, children need to eat and everything like that. You know, I have to go and meet my friends and look them and say, this is the situation I'm going through. Can you help me? Do you understand? I have to look at them eyeball to eyeball. As if we are still equals. You get? Me needing assistance doesn't mean that I'm beneath my friends. Do you get my point? So I'll walk like, it's not like I'll spray, we don't have food, but we have perfume. So I'll still spray perfume. You know, I'll dress, I'll have my baths, rub cream. Then I'll go and meet my friend and say, Omo, this is what is happening. Help me. You get my point? So whenever you need something, that's how you have to go and get it. Instead of doing your face, instead of coming humbly, you don't need to come humbly. There's no humility. Do you get my point? That's not where you display humility. You display humility when you are rich. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know? Not when you are poor. Everybody that is poor is humble. So it's fake. We don't know. We can't go to the bank on that one again. So it's when you are rich, we'll know whether you are humble again. So when you are poor, you don't need work. You understand? Like, do your face. As if you are a billionaire. Are we together? And if you don't have friends that you can do like this, then you don't have friends. So you don't need to make new friends in church. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So please stay with me. I'm still on my usefulness part. You know, I'm trying to lay a foundation. So let me give an example. Then move away from here. Then if you know, one day, you know, many of you might say that this is wicked. But there's a day I saw a young boy coming back from school, and he looks very hungry. And, you know, he was being very, you know, like doing his face like he needed something to eat or something like that. A young child was still wearing school uniform. And then he came to, you know, I was walking on the road, and so he met me, and then he was like, please come and give me, I've not eaten. And I looked at him, I said, no, I'm not going to give you anything. And then I continue walking. And the reason why I did that is that at a young age, if you learn how to beg, you are destroyed for life. Are we together? Are we together? You are finished. If that knowledge should enter your soul of begging. David said that since I was young and now I'm old, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Abby, can we go to that scripture? And it didn't occur to me. That was the first time that, you know, this thing occurred to me. It didn't occur to me that why did he come and beg you for money? You know, why? Why did he say that? Is there any work you want me to do? If it's to carry a load from here to here, if it's to help you sweep your house, I'll do it for you. And anything you want to give me, you'll give me. Why is it that the mind did not go to that one? Why is it that the mind went to begging? Hallelujah. I have been young, now I'm old. Yes, I have not seen the righteous forsaking, nor his descendants begging bread. Hallelujah. So it is not the will of God that anybody should beg. Please help me open it. Can you say that it's not the will of God that I should beg? But rather that I should give. Hallelujah. I hope you're not angry. I know what I'm saying is not socially acceptable, but well, it is well. So, or it's not socially acceptable in some circles. So, if you, and then it occurred to me that, look, see, if you're going to, rather than receiving the pity from people, it's best that you give value to people. Hallelujah. So if you want your life to change, instead of positioning yourself for people to help you, position yourself to help or add value to people. That way, your life will change quicker and more impactful, in a more impactful way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you don't have money, instead of saying please, the way I want you to think is that if you know your, I mean, you know this financial situation of your parents, nobody here is deceived. I don't think everybody here knows their reality. You know that you can't ask your parents for a plane. Everybody here knows. So if you know that, maybe for example, your parents cannot afford a jump form, then instead of even, it's good to go and meet Joshua. But what I want you to think about is that, you are with me. So, the way I want your mind to think is, who can I work for? What can I do that will make me earn this money? Hallelujah. Are we together? You have to have that kind of mind. Please don't be lazy in your mind. Look now. See. Calm down. Look in this place now. There's money to be made in this place. Hallelujah. Huh? Shall I tell you the avenues to make money? Miss Pimi is a mother. You can do babysitting job. You can say, Miss Pimi, I know that you are struggling. This baby is finishing you. Let me come and help you take care of your child. You just pay me 1K per hour. That's all. 1K per hour. Hallelujah. Are we together? Is that a money-making opportunity? There's money around you. It's just that your eyes, you're looking for how to beg. You're not looking for how to add value. Amen. Hallelujah. See, Koi now, she's going to market. She's getting married. You know how it is now to get married. You go to markets. We have many things. Makeup, many things. You can just go and meet her and say, Miss Coin, I know you are suffering, all this. I know you are stressed, I'll be, for this wedding, I'll be your PA. I'll help you carry your clothes. I'll help you iron your clothes, everything, your makeup, everything, I'll do everything for you. You won't stress that much, Now, I know that, wedding is coming up, so, you have money you're spending. So don't worry, you don't need to pay me now, but you can pay me instrumentally. You can pay me next month, next 2 months, next 3 months, Just pay me 20K or 30K. I'll carry, when you're going to market, instead of you carrying clothes like this, I'll be the one carrying the clothes. You'll be enjoying yourself, carrying the clothes. Hallelujah. Don't you think about it? And she might not even need a thing, but just because of your seriousness, she'll just say, let me just pay this guy. This guy is doing value, Let me encourage you. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you are useful, you attract more blessings. You make people, because of favor, you attract more. Hallelujah. Amen. You attract more blessings. You can go and meet person one day now and say, Mama, what is your clothes? It's plenty. I know dry cleaning must be an issue for you, So after you wash, use washing machine, Let me just come and iron all your clothes for you. I'll be ironing your clothes every Saturday morning, 8 to 9. I'll iron your clothes, everything for you. If you need me to buy pure water for you, I'll buy pure water for you. Hallelujah. Just pay me, 5K per week, or 10K per week or something. Price yourself. So when you are useful, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Also, maybe, you can even go to the next level where you have more in-depth skills. My point is that, the brain needs to rewire from receiving to giving. You need to be somebody that sees value. And that's how you need to think as people. Hallelujah. Are you happy? So there's money to be made though. It's just that you need to switch your mind. Now, when you begin to become useful, that's when people begin to treat you like an adult. When you are still thinking about receiving, then you are still a child and people respond to you that way. You understand? So you need to think like an adult and you'll be treated like an adult. It's not about age, it's not about, you know. Hallelujah. Are you angry? Rose, are you happy? Are you agree with me that I said that, he said, my God, you know. Now, we all have that innate desire to be useful. And God himself wants to make use of us. Can we say that? Can I say it again? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. Now, I think I've laid the foundation so you get everything that I'm saying. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. I just want to show something here. That in the last days, let's start with verse 1. You've gone to Corinthians, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Can we read it? Hold on, 1, 2, go. All right. So, men in the last days, one of the characteristics of men in terms of the nature that men will display is, one of it is that men will be lovers of themselves. Hallelujah. Are we together? Lovers of themselves. That's self-love. The focus will switch from your usefulness to yourself. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, this means one of the good things it means is that whenever in this day you display the character of someone that is useful, you will typically always stand out because it is not the nature of men of this age. Hallelujah. Are we together? People these days only think about themselves. It's just is the way we are. We are all narcissistic. When I say we all, I mean humanity. We're in an era of narcissism where we focus on ourselves. Things like your happiness, your this, your that, you know. That's even also the reason why, you know, in many countries in the world now, they're not giving birth to people. You know, like in Asia, also in Europe and America. You know, in Asia, it's so bad that in places like Japan and South Korea, they literally don't have babies again. Schools are shutting down because nobody is giving birth to babies, you know. And they will die out if nothing changes. Meaning the old people, you know, it's like there won't be young people again. So everybody will just die, you know, at the current rate, you know. Because for everybody that dies, you need to give birth to people to replace, you know. But because there's no replacement, the generation will just be dying like that. You know, Japan is like that. South Korea is like that. You know, places in Europe are like that amongst the white people. You know, and whenever they talk about it, they always talk about it. They have a reason. They will say that it is because of the economy. You know, but it's not true. Because even in those places, when Nigerians migrate there, we'll still be giving birth to children, you know. It's not economy, it's mindset, you know. It's because of this thing, it's lovers of themselves. So people now prioritize their own happiness and anything that is going to take away out of that happiness. It's also the reason why richer people tend to give birth to less children. Are we together? Even though richer people are the ones that can afford children, but it's usually wealthier people that give birth to less children. So, you don't want to be like that, okay? Hallelujah. And God is not going to make you like that. God is going to ensure that you are not a lover of yourself. You know, God will ensure. If you're going to work with God, you can't be a lover of yourself. Balaji, are you listening to me? Can you sit well? What are you doing there? Sound. I sit on. Amen. Are you learning? Is it boring? Okay. Thank you. You want to sleep? Do you feel like sleeping? Is there anybody that feels like sleeping? You feel like sleeping? You think you feel like sleeping, Aisha? And Aisha, you're deceiving me. You're actually like, you're doing your body as if, you know, keep fighting the battle. It's good. You know, one thing that helps me a lot is that I was raised up in a Catholic church. My mom is still a Catholic. And when we were younger, she used to take me to Catholic church. So I'm very used to solemn assembly kind of church, you know. So you don't want to be the kind of person that is a lover of yourself, where everything you are doing is for yourself. You know, you will injure people that way. Don't you? You're going to injure people that way if you're only thinking about yourself. You know. In fact, the worst is if you're thinking about yourself, you now want to serve God. That one is worse because it will be conflicting. You can't serve God and be thinking about yourself. And if you have a calling and you're operating a calling and you are only thinking about yourself, you'll be injuring people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together? You'll be injuring people. You'll be wounding people. You'll be fighting people. You understand? So, one of the first things that is going to happen for you to be useful to God is that you're going to be the kind of person that does not love you. Now, understand the context of loving yourself. I don't mean you don't have self-esteem. What I mean is that you don't prioritize your desires over God's desires. Hallelujah. Are we together? Huh? You don't prioritize your desires over God's desires. I don't mean that you shouldn't like yourself, you know, or you shouldn't do good things for yourself. You know, if you choose bad things, it's because you have a low self-esteem. You understand? Are we together? So these lovers of themselves, for instance, it doesn't enter into, let me not say that one. But if you're going to be the kind of person that is useful to God, then you have to be the person that is very anti this thing. So instead of being a lover of yourself, you're a lover of God. You're a lover of God's people. Hallelujah. If not, everything you do will be evil. If you go and say you want to fast and pray, your fasting and prayer will be evil. Everything you want to do will be evil. Now, if you look at the situation of the disciples, hallelujah. Please stay with me, stay with me. Don't lose me. If you look at the journey of the disciples, how the disciples were raised, you will see that firstly, he called them, Abina, he called them. And then they underwent a period of learning or followership. That's what it means to be a disciple. The disciple is someone that is a follower, in quotes, or a learner, you know. And they underwent that process, and then after he released them. Hallelujah. So there is a time process in one's usefulness to God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? He calls people, which is just salvation. You know, he calls people, you begin to have a relationship with him. And then you begin to have a followership kind of relationship with him, which is different from just coming to church. Please listen to what I'm about to say. A discipleship relationship is different from a normal Christian relationship. A normal Christian relationship is based on God's goodness towards you as a person. Meaning, ever since I became a Christian, my life has started working for good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. That's what I call a normal aspect. That's nominal Christian, or that's just the Christianity that is most people like. Yeah. So you go to church, you go for prayer meetings. In fact, you do everything your church says you should do. If your church is doing fasting like this one now, you do your fasting. You know, you do everything you get, right? But then the basis of the relationship is that I want to receive from God's goodness, which shocks people. Which is true. Let me say it this way. Because God is a good person. Hallelujah. God is good. So he naturally does good things to the people that he likes. And if you're saved, he likes you. So he does good. Are we together? But that's different from the discipleship dynamic. Amen. The discipleship dynamic is a lot different. The dynamic of a disciple, or the nature of the relationship that a disciple has with the master, is that it is not about receiving good things. It's about being useful to the master. Hallelujah. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? It's not about receiving good things. In this case, when one is a disciple of Jesus, it's not about receiving good things from Jesus only. It is about being useful to Jesus. As Jesus would say, a disciple cannot be greater than his master. Okay? In the order of the relationship, the disciple is for the master, or the servant is for the master. Are we together? So that's a different dynamic, because this lover of yourself, you can love yourself and be a Christian. Amen. Because the basis of the relationship can be that God is doing good things for me. But you can't love yourself and be a disciple, because the focus of your love is not on you, it's on Jesus. Amen. So the mind of a disciple, what's happening in his mind is, how can I be useful to Jesus? Do you understand what I'm saying? Can we say, how can I be useful to Jesus? Yeah. You know, everybody in this church, you will turn out, there are three ways you will turn out. Three ways. You will either be a weapon in God's hand, or you will have a good life, or you will drift away. Okay? Those are the three choices that you have. Huh? Did you hear me? Please wake up. The three choices that you have is to either be a weapon in God's, I mean it, be useful to God, or to live a good life. You know, it's a choice. It's a better choice than drifting away. And everybody that has come through this church has landed in one of the three places. Some, because of the decisions that they made, are now quite useful to God. Some are not as useful, but have good lives. You know, typically the good life is admission. You know, God has done it. Because for young people, admission is like marriage. You know, we young people are looking for marriage. People are looking for admission, you know. So God has done your own. God has given you house, you know. And then, which is good. It's not, you get. And then some have drifted away. Hallelujah. Are we together? You know. Now, of course, my desire is that there's nobody here that is just living a good life. But it also depends on your choice. But my desire is that all of us here are useful to God. Amen. You want to be useful to God, raise your hand. But Aji, you don't want to be useful to God. Desire you too. Yeah. Useful to God is not church worker. Don't equate nothing. When I say useful to God, useful to God is not church worker. You can be a church worker and not be useful to God. Hallelujah. It is fundamentally a relationship. It is a type of relationship. Hallelujah. The type of relationship. And it's not an age-based relationship. It's just a type of relationship. If you look through scripture, a lot of people were useful to God in your age range. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. One of the most important kings in Israel was maybe like 16 or so when he became a king. I think it's Josiah. I've forgotten the name. Who knows the name of it? Josiah, is it Josiah? Okay, you know. So it's not an age thing. A 16-year-old can be a king. If you have a type of relationship. Can you say, God, I want to be useful to you? Say it like you mean it. Or say it if you mean it. One of the important things about being useful to God is that when you're useful to God, you become like an investment. But I won't really spend so much time on this. But when you are useful to God, God is very involved in your life. Hallelujah. It's not everywhere that God is involved in their life like that. It depends on how much the life has opened up to God. You know. But God becomes very involved. Yeah, things can't happen to you without consultation. Are we together? Are we together? You can't just move anyhow. Your life becomes, which is the greatest privilege a man can have, is for God's eye to be on him. You know, when God's eye is on you, because God is very faithful. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is very faithful. So, if God's eye is on you, there's a way his eye will be on you that he won't remove his eye again. He's a very faithful person. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. God is very committed. Yeah. It's meant that cheating is a deal breaker. With God, cheating is not a deal breaker like that. You know. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. I'm using analogy of human relationship, you know. You know, most of us men, once, or women, you know, most of us human beings, once there's one cheating incident, it's over. You know, but you know, with God, it's different. God's love is very strange. It's very unhuman kind of love. You know, God told the prophet to go and marry a prostitute. And then, you know, the woman became a prostitute, but prostitution, the woman became a housewife, but, you know, prostitution did not leave her. So, the spirit was saying her, then she went back to the streets and was doing her job. And the man would, you know, you can imagine as a guy, your wife is on the streets, you know. And then God told the prophet to go and take her back. Hallelujah. Amen. And the prophet took her back. And then God started saying, this is how me too, I'm always taking Israel back when Israel goes against me. Do you understand? That's how God is. He's faithful, even when we are not faithful. So, if that kind of person's eye is on you, you know, it's a privilege. He, on his own part, he will do everything he can to ensure that you need to get to where you need to get to. Hallelujah. That's not a good thing. It's a good thing now. But you need to be a disciple. Hallelujah. In Romans 8, verse 28. Are you blessed? Romans 8, verse 28. Can we read together? One, two, go. Hallelujah. So all things work together for good. To who? Those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. So that's idea of all things working together for good. It's not something that happens to everyone. Are we together? You agree now? It's to those who love God. Now, this statement is like a converter. You know, it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but back in the day, although it's not like that these days, but back in the day, if you bought an application from, you know, Nigerian electricity is different from American electricity. The voltage, you might not know. Because these days, devices are not built. We've gone past that level in terms of technology. But let's say you bought a type of device from America when I was a child. Because America's electricity is different from Nigeria electricity, if you just plug it like that, the thing will blow. Okay? So what you need to do is that you need to have something that we call a step down. So you connect the thing to the step down, you connect the step down to maybe the wall socket. So that step down will convert Nigerian electricity to American electricity so that the device will not blow. You know. Now that's what this scripture is. This scripture is like, no matter what is happening in your life, it's not even that God had to have started it. Are we together? You could have been started by Satan. You can be started by human being, mischievousness, whatever happened, right? But this statement is that even though it started bad, you will still find out that it will still be converted to good. Hallelujah. It's amazing, huh? So even though, you know, and that's why people that know God eventually don't regret their background. You know, when a man is still regretting his background, it's because God has not touched him in a particular way. When God touches someone in a particular way, in fact, he could even be wishing that, you know, I thank God that I'm coming from a broken home. Is this broken home that God used to work goodness in me? That's what you'll be saying. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Why? Because all things work together for good. Everything will convert. So every limitation that we have, every disadvantage that we have, will be converted to good if we are called according to his purpose. If the course of our lives is centered on him, if we are disciples, that's when the scripture is activated for us. Hallelujah. It's like a superpower, Anu. Abi? Like a superpower. You can convert everything. Even if it's your own mistake, you know, maybe you made a mistake and you are in the place. You know, when you are this frequency of life, you say, well, it will work together for my good. Something will come out of it. Maybe the example, you discovered that they said, you know, this funny question, answer two and the third possible one. You know, maybe only answer two, you didn't answer the three, you know. Then everybody is not discussing, why did you answer it? It will still be okay, because even that exam that you failed will still work for your good. Hallelujah. Are we together? So tell your neighbor, you need to be a disciple. She's sleeping away. Wake up. Wake up. Tell your neighbor again, you need to be a disciple. Are you happy? Let's go to 1 Samuel 16. We'll read, but let's just be there. Now, there are three major things I want to talk about concerning who God uses, you know. The first thing that is very important, please listen to me, as regards who God uses, is that God uses imperfect people. Amen. Amen. It's important that you know this thing. That God uses imperfect people. The imperfection is actually what qualifies the people. You see, with God, imperfection does not disqualify. Imperfection is what qualifies people. Why? Because the more imperfection there is, the more grace there is needed. Hallelujah. Are we together? If you can do everything by yourself, you know, you won't give God glory like that. You really wouldn't, you know. That's why the things that you can do normally, you don't thank God for, you know. People don't thank God for food that they are eating, you know. People don't, even though you should, but people don't, you know, because you can't do it. Do you get what I'm saying? But the things you can't do, and then they miraculously get done, these are the things that you're like, thank you, Jesus. You understand? So imperfection is what qualifies you. And David is the perfect example of this. You know, by imperfection, I don't just mean maybe imperfection in character. I mean imperfection even in the life situation. You know, David is such a unique character because, I mean, when we ask the question, we'll read it, but this is where Samuel came to anoint David. God told Samuel to go and anoint David. And he went to the house and he said, bring your sons. Now, I mean, just put yourself in a situation where maybe like now, Papi comes to your house, to your mom's house or something, your dad's house, and says, I want to pray for your children. Bring all your children, you know. And then you, maybe you're washing, they sent you to, maybe you're washing clothes outside, you know, something like that. And then your three brothers will come in, and then you still be washing clothes outside, you know. Yeah, that's a very strange kind of family dynamic, I mean, now. And then, you know, someone had to be like, No. Do you have any others? Maybe Papa is not like, no. You know, God is telling me that yes. As well, the person be like, there's one guy, he's downstairs, he's washing clothes. Junior, go and call him. You're not come. You know. So I'm not just talking about imperfection of character. That's also there. Meaning the things that, you know, maybe you talk too much, that kind of thing. I'm also talking about imperfection of situation, meaning your environment, which that one you can't control. You know, nobody can control where they are born into. You know, you can't control all those things. The size of your nose, you know, you can't control it. You know, you might be trying to control it though, but it's still futile. You know, you might be trying to control it, you know. Humans are very, you know, one of the most evil things is surrogacy. Giving birth by surrogacy. It's very evil. It's very evil. Do you know what I mean by giving birth by surrogacy? Do you know what I mean? Okay. Maybe a woman can't give birth and then she would give her egg. The husband will bring sperm. They will now put the sperm and the egg inside another woman's womb. And that woman will now give birth on behalf of the woman that can't give birth. Do you get? So she's a surrogate. She's giving birth on behalf. It looks good on the surface, but that thing is very evil. And the reason why it's very evil is that people usually tend to play God with it. It's almost like, so you can say, I want my child to be tall. You're not going to look for the egg of a tall woman. It's like you'll be shopping for egg. You know, you will shop for egg. If I get so bad that people can even say, I want someone that's coming from a lineage of musicians. You know, because of genetics, they're trying to play, they're trying to manipulate genetics in your favor. Do you know what I mean by genetics? Okay. So you're trying to manipulate genetics in your favor. So you can go and say, I want a light-skinned baby. So my husband is light-skinned. Okay. Let me go and look for a woman to increase my chances of a light-skinned. You know, let me go and look for a woman that is light-skinned. They will now take her egg or something. You will now mix everything. You know. It's very commercial. It's like you're buying the baby you want. You know. So human beings try to manipulate that. But, you know, normally for most of us, we don't have a choice. We just came into this world. We found ourselves in situations that we can't control. Abina. And even though there are imperfections in those places, that is actually the reason why God is choosing us. That is the unique context that God wants. So your imperfection qualifies you. Can you say that? Yeah, my imperfection qualifies me. Yeah. Everything about you that is wrong is the reason why God is looking at you. If you are good, you don't need salvation. Are you feeling what I'm saying? So if you're going to be a disciple, and that's why God did not go and call. You know, Jesus, when he was choosing disciples, Jesus went to choose rugged men, you know, men that don't know book, you know. It was later he started calling people like Paul, you know, people that know book. When he first said that people are rugged guys, you know, brutish men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The men are not sophisticated. They are not tush guys, you know. Are we together? But most of those guys did not even know book. Because, you know, back then, you know, it's recently that everybody starts, that everybody goes to school. Back then, it's not everybody that has to go to school. You know, it's only a few people that used to know how to read and write. These are people that want to become scribes, you know, people that have knowledge of the law. Most of those guys were just random, you know, people. And it's from that pool that God went to go and pick disciples from. Most human beings will not do it that way. If you had the opportunity, you are God, you have the opportunity to hire the best 12 people on earth for your business. Will you hire Paul? Will you hire Peter? No. You will hire Paul. You know, Paul and Peter, they are like age range people. So they're all around in that same period. You get my point now? When Jesus was doing his thing, Paul was probably still with Gamaliel. You know. If it was me, I'll go and pick Paul from Gamaliel. See this mind, sharp mind. I'm like, come on, work with me. Who is Gamaliel? Come on, be my disciple. You know. Amen. 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 Stay with me, or stay with me. I'll also be done. Just stay with me. I'm teaching you something very important, so don't lose me. So your imperfection is the reason why God is looking at you. So next time Satan wants to use your imperfection to harass you, you have to tell him. Are we together? Huh? What did I say you should do? What did I say you should do? I have to tell him that this is the reason why God likes me. Amen. Don't say, are we together? This is the reason why God likes me, my imperfection, so that his grace can manifest. Without this, the danger is that you will always rely on your strength. So when you hit brick walls, which you will hit, you will be very discouraged. Hallelujah. Are we together? You'll be very discouraged. If God sends you to a place and you see all the people have Harvard degree, and you know, people are coming from crazy places, and then they manage to give you a job in that kind of place. When you see all the people with their degree, and you see, you know, some people, some Christians go to Unilag and are oppressed. How can a Christian be oppressed in Unilag? You know, maybe as a girl, you join the hostel, you see all the babes, you know the way they used to eat food. You know, it's gari and sugar you are planning for that whole week. But then, every day, they are going to the school canteen. In fact, they don't even go to the school canteen itself. They are ordering, food. And you are just there with your gari and, you know, and granite, you know. You know, you begin to feel intimidated. Hallelujah. Are we together? What I'm saying is not trivial, though. You know. You begin to feel intimidated, like, ah. You know, I said, you just begin to hide your Jesus. You just be hiding your Jesus. Are we together? In your life, never try and fake an accent. I want to use God to beg you. Please, don't do it. If you're talking to an Oyibo person and he can't hear you, let him not hear you. Are we together? Let him not hear you. Is this concern? I'm trying to... Are we together? People that really want to hear you will do their ear. You get my point? Because you don't you struggle to hear Chinese people. You understand? Right? If you really want to hear somebody, you would put in the effort to hear them. You get my point? If a white person tells you to pronounce your name, don't give him the English version. Give him the thick version. Say, Oluwadamisimi. You know? Let him be struggling with it. You know? Chinemerem, tell him that way. Don't use chi. Don't just call me chi. No. tell it to him. Let him struggle with it. Then tell him you didn't get it. Then say it again. It's chinemerem. Then after he can say, hey, don't worry, just use chi. Just call me chi. Don't stress yourself. You know. But make sure that, you know, because you're not beneath him. Are we together? Please don't change accent for anybody. You know, you will see people on an online video. You'll say, you know, I just came down to the mall. Maybe turn off camera. You switch to Yoruba. You know? So yeah, if you're not confident in your accent, then God cannot use you. There's nothing. It doesn't like a trivial thing, but it's not trivial. If you are fake, God cannot use you. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you are fake, God cannot use you. If you are trying to please men, God cannot use you. So the way you will not try and be fake is when you understand that your imperfection does not qualify you. Because the reason why we want to be fake is that we want to hide imperfection. Hallelujah. Are we together?
Yes,
that's why we are fake. We want to hide imperfection. But don't hide it, you know. In fact, even on the accent, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about white people. You have to understand cultures. No, cultures are different. You know, many Nigerians don't understand this. That's why, in a sense, we don't really get, we don't really understand some things. You know, white people are not confrontational. It's in their culture. They're polite. In Lagos, for instance, now you can be, people can just start shouting, blah, 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 fights, you know. They're very direct. You know, Caucasian culture is polite. European, American, is built around politeness. You must be polite. But you see, it doesn't stop someone. So if a Nigerian wants to insult you, say your head is not correct. So in that polite culture, if he has a desire to insult you, but his culture forbids him from being direct, what he will use is sarcasm. So if he wants to say you're stupid, what you say is that you're a very bright person. But what he means is that you're stupid. That's sarcasm. It's like insulting you underground, you know. As a Nigerian, don't get sarcasm. If you are sarcastic online, people will be talking like you mean what you are saying when you are being sarcastic, because it's not a way we communicate direct, you know. So what happens all the time, whenever you are giving fake accents, the white man knows they are giving a fake accent. He just can't tell you to your face, because he will never. What a lot of them will do is that when they are talking within themselves, they will be yabbing you. I'm just, he sees it as a crazy person, you know. So never be fake. The people that you are being fake for are secretly insulting you. That's what I'm trying to say. You get? Huh? Maybe you have a friend in school now, and you can't bring your friend to your house because your house is face me, I face you. You know? And your friend says, let's go to your house. And you're like, no, don't come to my house, Everyone will know. They will know. And if they don't like you, they will insult you. When the real rich people gather, you know, when the rich people gather, they will start talking about the poor people. Ah, this guy is poor in my class, so he's poor in my class. Start, you know, in his house, I saw rats. You know, they'll start, that's how people will start insulting you. You know, that's what happens when you're fake. People insult you behind your back. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? So God uses imperfect people. You understand? And you need to allow God work so that, you know, so it will be like you're the one doing the work and not him. So make sure that you don't allow imperfection change how you see yourself. Make sure that you don't allow it affect your mind, you know. Embrace it. I've told you before, embrace it. You are not perfect. You know, embrace it. If your parents are poor, love them like that. Don't try and turn them to a no. Accept your life. You will heal faster. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? Accept your life. If God is telling you to go to a type of school, if you know your parents can't afford it, don't ask them for the school fees. If generally you know they can't afford it, don't ask them for the school fees. Ask God for the school fees. And when God has told you that he has given you the school fees, you can then go and meet them and say, actually, I want to tell you that I'm going to this school. Eh? Don't worry about the money. God has told me I'm going. Now, if God blesses you with the money, fine. But if God does not bless you with the money, it's fine. But I just want you to know that this is the school I want to go to. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't stress people. Just accept it. Don't be angry. Their parents did not afford better things for you. It is imperfection, yes, but that's why God is looking at you. Are we together? Are we together? Are you learning? I teach you how to be another one. I teach you how to talk in a way that people respect you. You know when you talk that kind of way, you're like, eh? Are you serious? I say, my son is his way. But pray first, though. Not that you did not pray. You're not talking nonsense talk. You don't have confidence to back it up. You know, pray, let God answer you. And then talk from faith. Hallelujah. See, the thing about life is that you will play. You always play. But grow up. Do you understand? You always play. Me now, I can play anytime I want to play. You know, I can carry money, go and do swimming pool. I can do anything I want to do. You understand? You always have opportunity to play, but your mind needs to grow. Now, quickly, the second person that God uses are his friends. Everybody say his friends. Everybody say his friends. In John 15, we won't look at it, but in John 15, Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he said, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. Now, that statement is a very important statement. Before I go there, let me say, the reason why he could call them friends was because they were disciples. Hallelujah. All right? It was a conversation that he was not having with everybody. He was having a conversation with the people that had followed him. And after they had followed him for a while, he then looked at him and said, "You guys are my friends." Okay? So the way to be the friend of God is to be the disciple of God. Okay? And that is who Jesus uses. Jesus uses his friends. Hallelujah. Are we together? Friendship with God is based on obedience. In this same John 15, he said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Hallelujah. So God judges friendship based on his ability to command. Are we together? Are we together? God judges friendship based on his ability to command. The extent to which you can handle the commandments of God is the extent to which you are a friend of God. Amen. So God doesn't just use people that are anointed. I specifically did not use this kind of language. God did not use people who are smart, who are brilliant. Are we together? That's not who God is looking for to use. If you're going to be used by God, you're going to need to be imperfect, and you're going to need to be his friend. If you want men to give you glory, be excellent. Be the first in class. Men will give you glory. Okay? But if you want God to use you, if you want God to be very interested in you, you're going to have to be imperfect. Okay? And then you're going to have to be a friend of his. And by friend, I mean a disciple. Hallelujah. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the thing. That's what I want to say. And then lastly, you're going to have patience. Everybody say patience. Let's look at James. We'll close with this. James 1, verse 2. Do we have TPT? No. Can someone read TPT for us? James 1, 2 to 4. Please, let's get a mic. James 1, 2 to 4. All right, who has TPT on their phone? Okay, 2 to 4. Sorry, okay.
Greetings, my name is Jacob, and I'm a love slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am writing to all the 12 tribe, to all the 12 tribes of Israel who have been sown as seeds among the nations. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can ever have.
No, that's not 4. Yeah, 2 to 4.
Verse 3. For you know that your faith is tested. When your faith is tested, it stirs up in your power of endurance. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking.
Yeah. Did you hear that? So when you are going through challenges, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, you release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. Hallelujah. So part of the reason why you need to embrace your imperfection is so that you can learn how to operate in joy and faith despite your contradictory condition. Do you understand? Because you see, what God wants, and that's why God is not pitying anybody, you know, because even if you are raised in the worst condition, because of the Holy Spirit, you can still develop joy on your inside. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, if I say now, let's run from here to Ogba. You know, at the beginning, everybody will start. After a while, people are getting tired. Now, getting tired doesn't mean that the reason why you stopped is not that you're tired. Hallelujah. Eh? Has anybody run marathon before? Okay. You like running? Do you like running? You have the physique of a runner. Do you like sports? Now, when you are running, the reason why you stop is not that you are tired, is that your mind has given up. Endurance is a mental thing. Okay? It's not just a prayer. You know, anything you are doing in life, the reason why that has a time, this thing, is just that your mind has like, okay. But everything that you are feeling is anything everybody is feeling. It's just that some people have worked on their mind to go more. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So you are running, and your leg is like iron, you know, when your leg is getting hot and everything. So people are feeling that same thing too, but their mind is like, okay, let's just move on. Some people immediately, they will just shut down. That's what endurance is. So for you to go far in life, you could even say that it's better that you have challenges, because endurance is formed in tough situations. Hallelujah. Do you know what I'm saying? So your condition doesn't mean that God will not use you. In fact, what it means is that if you are patient and if you stick with God, you're going to build endurance that's going to take you far in God. Hallelujah. So that's how to be used by God, okay? So have endurance. Allow God work in you. Let God work in you. Let Him work. Let Him work. Everything will not happen immediately. It will be happening small. It may even look like nothing is happening, but something is always happening. All right. Father, we thank you. Can I just say a short prayer? Just ask God or tell Him to use you. You know, just tell Him that, you know, I'm going to be useful to you.